and clearly.
נתחיל. מאמר לעולם ימכור אדם
Article, one should always sell everything he has and marry a wise disciple's daughter. One should always sell everything he has and marry a wise disciple's daughter. This means that he should sell all the possessions that he has acquired through his labor. That is, he should give everything and relinquish everything, and in turn, take the daughter of a wise disciple. This means that if he does not take a wise disciple's daughter, all the labor that he is given in Torah and Mitzvot, his whole life, is incomplete. Only if he marries a wise disciple's daughter, will he be rewarded with his completeness. This is why our sages said that he should sell everything he has, meaning that it's worthwhile to sell everything for a wise disciple's daughter. Therefore, we should understand the meaning of a wise disciple's daughter. Baal Sulam said that a wise disciple is one who is a disciple of a wise, meaning he learns from the wise. And then he is considered a disciple. A wise is the creator whose quality is only to bestow. One who learns from him the quality of bestowal is called a wise disciple because he's learning from him the quality of bestowal. By that we'll understand what our sages said: one should always sell everything he has and marry a wise disciple's daughter. That is, he should give all the labor he has given in Torah and work, and in return receive a possession of bestowal. This means that he will establish in his heart a new nature instead of the one that he naturally has, a desire for self-love. Now he will receive a second nature, the desire to bestow. That is every thought, word, and action will be only in order to bestow upon the Creator. For this is the whole man. This means that one should achieve only this degree, for all we need to attain are the vessels. But the abundance, which is the filling of the kelim, comes from the Creator. Since more than the calf wants to suckle, the cow wants to nurse. Therefore, all we are missing is the power of bestowal. By that we can interpret what is written in the Zohar: if Israel are rewarded, he would come down like a lion of fire to eat the offerings. If they were not rewarded, he would come down there like a dog of fire. It is known that lion implies chesed, mercy, which is the right of the Merkava, chariot. If they are rewarded, where being rewarded means pure, meaning bestowal, then we are shown an eye for an eye, that from above too comes the discernment of lion, meaning that the quality of chesed expanded to the lower ones, and the abundance was plentiful for the lower ones. If they are not rewarded, meaning that they did not engage in bestowal, but only in self-love, then from above, the discernment of dog would be extended. A dog implies, as it is written in the Zohar about the verse, the leech has two daughters that howl as dogs. Give us the wealth of this world and give us the wealth of the next world. In other words, two daughters that bark like dogs. Give us the wealth of this world and give us the wealth of the next world, which is only about reception and not about bestowal. Therefore, from above, too, we are shown that we cannot bestow abundance downward. And this is called an eye for an eye. It turns out that our work is only to be rewarded with kelim that are suitable for reception of the abundance, which are vessels of bestowal. Therefore, a person should focus all of his efforts on one thing only, called vessels of bestowal. This should be the only reward that he wants to attain from Torah and Mitzvot. By that, he will achieve Dvekut with the Creator, which is man's purpose, to achieve Dvekut with the Creator. We also see in the words of the Zohar that it was said about the verse, the mercy of the nations is a sin. All the good that they do for themselves. This means their aim with all the mercy, meaning the acts of bestowal that they do, is not to bestow. Rather, their intention is for themselves, meaning to receive reward for it. Otherwise, they cannot perform acts of bestowal. But the people of Israel are capable of performing acts of bestowal. We should understand why the people of Israel can perform acts of bestowal. And we should also understand, according to what we hear from people who became religious, who say that before they became religious, they were more capable of performing acts in order to bestow. But afterwards, meaning once they have become religious, it has become more difficult for them to perform acts of bestowal. To understand the above, we should remember the known that a person is called a created being only in that there is a will to receive in him. For this is called created existence from absence. It therefore turns out that by nature, he is incapable of performing any act of bestowal unless he receives some reward in return. The reward does not have to be that he receives something for the effort. Rather, it can be some pacifying that he receives. That is, if some compassion awakened in him toward another, and his conscience does not let him rest, to the point that he must help another, this too is regarded as bestowal. But simply doing something for another, for the other to enjoy, then he tells himself, what will I get out of it?
But
the people of Israel, through the power of Torah and Mitzvot, are capable of obtaining a second nature. That is, instead of the nature they were born with, a desire only to receive, they will receive a second nature, where now they work only in order to bestow. He obtains this through the Torah and Mitzvot, which instilled in him sparks of bestowal that bring him a sensation of wanting to resemble his root. But without the Torah and Mitzvot, a person cannot come out of his own nature, which is the desire to receive only for himself. And he cannot perform any acts of bestowal without reward. By this, we'll understand what they asked about those who become religious and say that before they became religious, they had more strength to perform acts of bestowal. But later, when they have become religious, they feel that it is more difficult for them to perform acts of bestowal. To understand the above, we should remember the known that a person is called a created being, only in that there is a will to receive in him. For this is called created existence from absence. It therefore turns out that by nature, he is incapable of performing any act of bestowal unless he receives some reward in return. The reward does not have to be that he receives something for the effort. Rather, it can be some pacifying that he receives. That is, if some compassion awakened in him toward another, and his conscience does not let him rest, to the point that he must help another, this too is regarded as bestowal. But simply doing something for another, for the other to enjoy, then he tells himself, what will I get out of it? But the people of Israel, through the power of Torah and Mitzvot, are capable of obtaining a second nature, that is, instead of the nature they were born with, a desire only to receive, they will receive a second nature, where now they work only in order to bestow. He obtains this through the Torah and Mitzvot, which instilled in him sparks of bestowal that bring him a sensation of wanting to resemble his root. But without the Torah and Mitzvot, a person cannot come out of his own nature, which is the desire to receive only for himself. And he cannot perform any acts of bestowal without reward. By this, we'll understand what they asked about those who become religious and say that before they became religious, they had more strength to perform acts of bestowal. But later, when they have become religious, they feel that it is more difficult for them to perform acts of bestowal. We should reply to that, as is explained in the introduction to the Book of Zohar, where he writes that at the time of his birth, his will to receive is only for corporeality. Therefore, although he has obtained the excessive will to receive prior to being 13, it is still not the end of the growth of the will to receive. The main growth of the will to receive is depicted only in spirituality, since, for example, prior to being 13, his desire to receive wants to devour all the wealth and honor in this corporeal world, which is revealed to all, which is to him a transient world that is accessible to everyone and is perceived by everyone only as a fleeting shadow. But when he obtains the excessive spiritual will to receive, he wants to devour for his own pleasure all the delight and wealth of the next eternal world, which is to him an everlasting possession for all eternity. Thus, the will to receive is completed only with the desire to receive spirituality. It turns out that before they have become religious, they had a corporeal will to receive, which is not yet so great. This is why they had more strength to perform acts of bestowal. But once they have become religious and their will to receive has grown with the will to receive for spirituality, it has become more difficult because now the will to receive has more strength than when they had only a corporeal will to receive. Therefore, before they have become religious, they had some strength to perform acts of bestowal. But once they have become religious, obtaining the spiritual will to receive, it is now more difficult for them to engage in matters of bestowal. For this reason, it cannot be said that now they have become worse, or to say that the religious are worse, because it is more difficult for them to perform acts of bestowal. Rather, the will to receive has grown bigger, so it is more difficult to overcome it. For example, before he obtained the spiritual will to receive, his evil was 30%. Afterwards, once he has obtained the spiritual will to receive, his evil acquired another 70%. Therefore, now he needs greater powers to be able to overcome it. However, we should not say that now his strength has diminished. On the contrary, now he must find the remedy to defeat the evil power he has obtained. And the remedy for this is keeping Torah and Mitzvot with the intention for the light in it to reform him.
It
therefore follows that he has advanced and has obtained more evil in order to correct it. But every beginning is difficult, and therefore now he thinks that he has become worse. However, you should know that each time he is given more bad to correct, until he is rewarded with correcting everything.
Rav,
if I understood correctly, Rabash here gives a measurement to the will to receive, he talks about 30%. He mentions that number, that when a person is outside and when a person is in spirituality, he can receive, let's say, 70%. And my question is, what do we need to do to really reach 100% of a will to receive, where the intention is ultimately to correct it and use it to bestow? Maybe I'll add that actions in the 10 and maybe even more, they're effective actions, but give us an advice, maybe how can we, I would say, awaken the light that reforms, that will increase our will to receive even more, so that ultimately we can reach bestowal.
We need to observe that which is written to us by the Torah of Baal HaSulam and Rabash. And then we will get there. We'll start to discover, to reveal what they meant.
Maybe to refine it, Rav, that everyone will understand, including me.
Connection. Prayer to the Creator, for Him to help us to raise ourselves above the desire to receive.
That's what we
need.
Ken. Ken.
Thank you, Rav. He says, if they are awarded, they come down like a lion, otherwise like a dog. What do we need to do to be a lion and not a dog?
We need to know what state we are in relative to unity, towards connection, towards adhesion, to the extent in which we need to try and pay for this adhesion that we want to achieve, to attain. And this is where the entire question that we have comes. In what do I need to pay? Meaning, what is missing that I need to give?
And in relation to what do I measure it objectively?
In what I am in. What can I take from myself and pass to the society, to the Creator, as much as I'm willing and ready for that, only in order to acquire vessels of bestowal.
I wanted to ask, he writes that the main thing is to attain vessels of bestowal, and also that the will to receive doesn't end with the desire to receive spirituality. What is the difference between that and vessels of bestowal? Is it the same thing? Is it something else?
The desire to receive spirituality, meaning that he wants to receive a connection to the vessels of bestowal, to thoughts to bestow, to the ability to come closer to others. And that's how he wants to advance.
Vessels of bestowal, is it a kind of a will to receive? What exactly is vessels of bestowal?
Vessels of bestowal are actions of different kinds. It could be to bestow, it could be to receive, it could be not to do anything, but where their intention will be to bestow to another.
Vessels of bestowal is the intention?
Yes.
So what does it mean, a desire to receive spirituality?
That he wants to advance in spirituality by this.
So it's still called to receive. Where is bestowal, if it's a will to receive spirituality?
It's called a desire to receive, but what does he want to receive? He wants to receive more of the ability to bestow.
But in wanting more ability to bestow, what differentiates it from normal reception? Because it's still a desire to receive.
The intention, his intention, what he wants to accomplish by this action.
Last question. How does the intention begin to change in the person, that he begins to put intentions over actions? How does it begin to start happening in reality?
That depends on the extent in which he is in the society that wants to reach qualities of bestowal, where they measure a person not according to the extent in which he receives or gives, but rather how much intention he has to give.
How do you measure intentions? When you look at a person, how can you measure his intentions?
I don't know. That's why it's called the Torah of this concealed.
But you said a person is measured by his intentions. So how do you measure that?
The person himself.
So he examines himself.
Yes.
He says one should always sell everything he has. What does a person have?
All his forces, all his opinions, all his desires, thoughts, hopes, all that he has, he should get rid himself from everything and know only that he needs only one thing, the desire to bestow.
Where do I pay that? In the 10?
You pay either in the whole world or in the 10 or towards the Creator. Doesn't matter where. From himself.
The person decides how he should pay, or the payment is determined from above?
No. The Creator sends all kinds of opportunities, and a person, according to his ability, chooses what he has to do with it.
When a person comes to buy it, it's something that pays off, the force of bestowal. It sounds like he sells everything for something that's worth it.
It's not in one action, it's a series of actions.
How does he not confuse himself that he has intentions to bestow? What's the test?
The test he performs of what he's doing is only if it's for the benefit of others.
So he gives a great example that man has mercifulness for the others, and because of conscience, he goes to fill the others to actually calm down his conscience.
Well, okay, that's not considered for the benefit of the other. It's for the benefit of his own conscience.
So how does a person truly scrutinize it?
How
does a person truly scrutinize it? Only a person knows how to do that, and not someone from the side. He sees, understands, feels, measures what's happening with him, what opportunity he has, and what he wants to do. And then he concentrates his forces and in how to make an act of bestowal.
And how does he identify from all the opportunities what is the most effective?
In what he feels that he's in less thoughts about himself.
With respect to what?
With respect to the other, that he wants to do for him something.
Many times we define our work that the first circle of the others for us is the 10. Is it correct to say that first we have to measure ourselves against that, these others?
Yes.
So towards these others, I want to make sure my intentions are for their sake.
Yes.
Thank you.
בסדר.
הוא כותב, הרצון לקבל הוא נעשה גדול יותר.
He writes, the will to receive becomes greater, therefore it's more difficult to overcome it. On one hand, when we advance, the will to receive becomes greater, worse. On the other hand, man is expected to improve in the examples he gives to his friends. How do these things work together? We know that only examples we give one to the other, by this we can help each other. So, if I become worse, how will I set a good example?
I didn't understand.
I need to give my friends an example for connection, for importance of spirituality. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, I also have to improve in that.
I think
that if I advance on our path, then I have to also become better at the examples I give. But I also become worse. Man becomes coarser.
Or
tough. How can he give a good example to the friends?
He tries with those same forces he has, desires he has, opportunities as he has, to show that he's in bestowal.
It's exactly the point. How do you give an example? I can give an example of devotion and persistence
and
industriousness. But what's a spiritual example? I want to give my friend an example that will awaken his desire for spirituality. Not that he'll see that, he does a lot, always comes to meetings with friends. How do you give a spiritual example?
You can't see spiritual because it's all in the intention. As you are now in the intention, as you're doing it, where you want everything to be for the benefit of the friend. So that's the thought.
He writes that a person thinks he's going backwards, but actually it's all opposite, and he has to do all kinds of remedies to defeat the evil that he achieved. So we know it's the remedies are within the ten, and he also writes that all the beginnings are difficult. How do we skip over that? Because I have a 10 now. I have the greatest force in this reality. Why is the beginning still difficult? How do we help each other not have such a difficult beginning or make it easier to overcome?
It's always more difficult. With each desire that is being revealed that you need to define your intention in order to bestow upon, it each time is always more difficult because each desire is bigger.
But now I have a 10.
Now too you have a 10.
So how do I work correctly with them? It's just a term on the shelf.
You depict yourself that you're going together with them, that you're doing it for them, and that you receive from them forces for the current action. And that's it. And that's how you advance. So of course every action is greater, more difficult, more meaningful. But there's no choice. This is how we advance.
So what does it mean that I actually correct my evil?
That each time you discover yourself, you discover that your desire is greater. And it's bigger and more cunning. And then you need to muscle the forces and for this desire not to bother you, reach acts of bestowal.
So with everything Rav said and with having a 10, what does it mean that I correct the evil? How do I come and correct it? I identified this wicked, cunning evil, then what?
So now you need to receive above it the force to, despite the fact that it was revealed as worse in you, you are inverting it to in order to bestow.
That's basically what you discussed with the Koka, that I need to think about what I can give them.
Yes.
And this is the inversion that happens.
Boker Tov Rav Yekar.
Boker
Rav Yekar, hangi çabalar bereketi almaya uygun kapları inşa eder?
He writes here that it turns out that most of our work is to engage, to receive vessels, to receive the abundance, which are vessels of bestowal. What efforts will enable us to be able to receive that, those vessels of receiving the abundance?
What's the beginning of the question?
What efforts will enable us to be able to receive vessels to receive the abundance?
Efforts in connection between us. And that's it. Efforts in connection between us. With mutual support, mutual assistance, very important. There's nothing more important than a person seeing that his group is yearning to go forward, and everyone is aimed at the goal, that at the goal we all connect together and cling to the Creator. That pushes the person, carries him forward, attracts him into the group. That's what we have to show to each other. Okay, you agree?
Рав, если я впускаю товарищей в свое желание, что это ради них, то это
исправление? If I bring the friends into my desire for it to be for their benefit, is that a corrected intention?
Ну, наверное, да.
Но это очень...
Probably yes.
Надо просить Творца об этом исправлении.
But it's very unpleasant to ask... Need to ask the Creator for this correction because alone it's hard to carry this out.
I
think we have to ask of the Creator to give us the possibility to be in
тут написано в статье, что постоянно растет желание получать.
It's written in the article that the desire to receive constantly grows, becomes more cunning. At what moment do we need to sell everything we have and to marry the daughter of the wise disciple?
Say it again.
Любое наше действие, любое наше желание.
From the beginning, Rav says.
Every action, every desire that we have to check whether it matches being similar to the Creator. And only after we begin to work on each and every desire to give it shape that is similar to the Creator, then we begin to move forward.
What does it mean that I give the desire a form that's similar to the Creator? Let's say some desire, some state comes to me, and I see that it's not spiritual. It draws me to some side. How do I give it a spiritual form?
No, дело в том, что...
Well, thing is...
Как сказать...
How to put it?
Я беру свои желания и начинаю их проверять.
I take my desires and I begin to examine them.
С которыми я могу действовать. На отдачу.
With what desires can I work towards work and bestow to the friends, to the group, to the others in general, to the Creator? Such desires I begin to correct, to equalize their form of bestowal. And the desires that I can't do it with them yet, I put aside.
How to correctly sell everything you have?
Depends on the extent to which you elevate the quality of bestowal, getting closer to the Creator, above the quality of
Women
Latin 24.
Good evening, dear Rav.
¿Cómo superar cada comienzo que es difícil?
He advanced in order to correct more of the evil. And all the beginnings are difficult. How to overcome all the difficult beginnings?
Only by connection. Only by connection with the friends, where each one can get an example and thus advance. Otherwise, it'll be very difficult.
Selam sevgili Rab. Başkalarının yararına bir niyetle başlayan eylemin sonunda da bunun hazzı geliyor çoğu zaman.
Dear Rav, an action that begins with the intention to bestow to others many times brings pleasure in the end. What do we need to do with this pleasure? Does that pleasure cancel the intention with which we began?
Again, Ali.
The saying we want to do an act towards others, many times we then later say that it's pleasure for us. So the question is, what do we do with this pleasure, and does it cancel the intention we wanted to build in the beginning for it to be for the benefit of others?
That too, we aim for the benefit of others. That's it. Yes.
A question from Women Turkey 7 from Sangul. Dear Rav, I heard from you many times not to be a wise person. What's bad with being wise or smart?
Because the wise always tries for ways to perhaps not do the action that he has to do, bestowal. And therefore, the simplest thing is that from the desire that awakens in us, that appears in us, that we have to grow from it. Why don't I see Sangul here? Okay, next.
She has another question.
אז אין שאלות.
יש לסנגול עוד שאלה.
בבקשה.
סנגול has another question, Rav.
האם האדם יכול להשיג השפעה?
She's asking whether a person can attain bestowal without being an egoist.
לא.
No.
קודם כל, אין אדם שהוא לא אגואיסט. אבל אם הוא רוצה להיות יותר...
First of all, there's no person who's not an egoist. But if he wants to be more in bestowal, he has to be more of an egoist first, and then identify his exaggerated ego and correct it. That's the only way we ascend. Okay? Okay.
Thank you, Rav. What does it mean to sell?
To replace.
So what does a person have to replace? What can he give?
Something that I have.
What does a person have that he can give in lieu of the desire to bestow?
That he has some benefit in his will to receive. Then he replaces it with some gain in the will to bestow. Power, understanding, something.
When a person stands before the king, he feels like he's naked, lacks everything. He has nothing.
Yes.
It's like he has nothing to give for this quality. He feels unworthy, and he also has nothing to give for it. So in that state, how does he nevertheless come out of it as if I have nothing to give and I nevertheless want? How do we get the quality of bestowal on this? I don't understand that. Or do I do choose something here? When I'm in that state that I feel naked and I have nothing, what do I actually sell?
You sell your desire. It doesn't matter what you're willing to do, only to receive the quality of bestowal.
So when I'm in a state that I'm naked, have nothing, it's just like we saw with the prayer of the poor, and he wants to attain the quality of bestowal and to advance in this way. What? Does he really, how does the Creator receive that prayer for him to give him something? What can the Creator do to give him something nevertheless?
Man wants to get rid of some will to receive and replace it with a will to bestow. So it's clear to him, it's clear to everyone, basically, what that action is, that the Creator replaces it for him. Give an example.
I'm trying to feel. A person that feels in such a state that he has nothing to give and he doesn't, yes, he's not unworthy, he nevertheless has to give something. So what does he actually give?
His desire.
His desire for what?
No, his desire.
So.
That's it. That from all my desires, I give a certain desire for executing it for the sake of the Creator.
Despite the fact that I feel like I have nothing to give?
Just like you have 24 hours a day, and you cut 2 hours of it and dedicate it to the Creator.
Thank you. About something close?
Yes.
I heard your discussion with the friends yesterday. We're talking about the friends, about the spiritual feeling for you is received by you being able to give to us.
Yes.
Can you describe what this spiritual filling is and how we, by succeeding to enabling you to give to us, maybe we can also receive that filling that you're talking about?
No, I can't describe that. It's impossible.
Maybe try?
No, it's not about trying. It's impossible. How can you, you say, let's say you've received light. Now, show it to us.
How will I ever know that I really received this light?
You will know. You will know. In those desires with which you want to bestow.
Yes, Gilad.
Yes, Gilad.
Continue, Gershon, I want. He says here that instead of having from nature the desire for self-love, now he will receive a second nature that he wants to bestow, meaning that all the thoughts, his speech, his actions will be only in order to bestow to the Creator, because that's all of man, meaning only that degree a person needs to reach, because we only need to attain the vessels, whereas the abundance, which is the filling of the vessels, comes from the Creator.
Yes.
How is it that this abundance does not turn off these vessels? Like every other desire.
What was the desire for first? The abundance doesn't turn off the vessels, it fulfills the vessels.
Every other desire we want, then the abundance comes, and that's it. It turns off the desire, turns it out.
Yes.
Here we make an exertion, he sells the beams of his house, he buys a wise disciple's daughter, and I mean, he wants to bestow, only to bestow.
Yes.
Now the abundance comes, and they say, this is man's work. Now a person comes, and he also that he receives from the Creator, but it's the request of a person. Now the feeling comes, and this feeling doesn't turn off this desire.
Yes.
How is that?
Because a person doesn't intend towards the fulfillment that will fulfill him, but rather fulfillment that he will give, pass on to the Creator.
How is it that the desire is so powerful that the desire does not turn it off?
The fulfillment is incompatible. The person wants to be fulfilled not with the fulfillment that he gives to the Creator. Rather, he's fulfilled by, I don't know how to say it. He's fulfilled by the fulfillment that he's giving to the Creator.
So that's what he wanted to do. So that desire was filled. He's saying that every thought that he has, speech that he has, action, he wants it only to be to bestow.
Yes.
So he received it now. All the actions that he's doing are only in order to bestow. That's it. It's done.
Yes. What ended?
Like every other desire, he wanted it and received it. So what's the difference?
What's the difference between what?
Between this and other desires.
Other desires begin and end within the person. And this desire ends outside the person.
And then
a person feels how he bestows to others. How by that he is similar to the Creator. And being similar to the Creator is actually the result, not that he gave to others by himself. It's a different measurement here. How similar he becomes to the Creator.
So he became similar to the Creator. Does he have satisfaction from that?
That gives him satisfaction.
And he can also give it to the Creator, or does he feel that?
Yes, yes.
And that's it. This desire is over. Now another desire needs to come.
Probably, yeah.
So what's the difference? So now too, a person wants, let's say, to eat. He got filled. He ate. Another desire came. What's the difference, actually? What remains from it? What is in this that another desire doesn't have?
That it's a desire to bestow. It's a desire by which a person bestows to the Creator, connects to the Creator, becomes similar to the Creator, and clings and enters the Creator and exists there in Him to the extent of equivalence of form. And with that, he wants to continue. Now, we already have a spiritual degree. And from that spiritual degree, Rishimot now surface to him, which are other kinds of Rishimot. They demand the person to keep going forward.
Here too, he needs to enter into some sort of detachment and then enter the next degree. Well, that's not important. Why is it important for you? Disconnected or not? Okay, we need to scrutinize the question a little more.
גילת פשוט עזר לי.
Gilad simply helped me. So I'm returning to the question again. We need to attain the Creator eternally. We need to live in the world of the Creator. We need to bestow. We need to live in that world. And here you depict as if there's this revelation, a person feels he attained something, and boom, a viewer grows and is in a completely new state, and he again is in some kind of search. And whatever he attained, it's as if it's lost. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Does that also happen to a Kabbalist? What's the difference between that and being a Kabbalist?
I don't know. I'm not a Kabbalist.
I'm asking, do we need to attain this eternity? What does it mean if a person attains a Creator and he lives in the world of bestowal, and the difference between that and what you depicted to Gilad, that a person reaches a certain fulfillment in order to bestow, and then there's a new desire, and once again he starts a process as if there was nothing before that.
Yeah.
I'm asking what causes that fulfillment, that spark to remain for eternity, where you can continue from it onward and not return to receiving?
He
already has a screen from his previous state. Disregard his previous state, because he's already on the degree where he performed an action of bestowal.
But he had a masach before that, a screen before that.
Maybe.
So we lose that screen until we attain it?
We don't lose it. You started from a certain state. We were speaking about actions of bestowal. Let's say your first action of bestowal. That action remains. Now he wants to ascend from that to the next degree. So if his desire is bigger, he connects to that higher degree, which is higher, and performs a bigger action on that degree.
In the ascent on that degree, does he take something from the previous degree, the screen, the force of overcoming that he had?
Just the records, the reshimot. The records are greater, they're bigger.
I'll think about it. I'll also try to continue Gershon. There's this work that renews. There's always a new state and another new state, and we need to do the things. At some point, it's similar to the article of the rich and the poor, where the poor one takes something and he always needs to come back anew. So the work is really that in which we need to renew all the time. We have new vessels, we need to work. What is the purpose of that? If each time we... each time we kick that, what do we need all that for?
There are no other means that can bring him closer to the purpose of creation.
But he feels each time that I enter the this treasury, and then I get kicked again.
Correct, and every time he has a record that he wasn't successful in the previous time, and then I hope that the next time I'll succeed more. Penny by penny accumulates to a big sum, and in that accumulation I will reach some kind of desire and its depiction in such a way that the Creator can fill me.
So the force to continue each time anew, it's something very distant from me. I never see that. I don't see that I succeeded to bring... I see that I succeeded to bring food to the children, but I never have that feeling.
None. I always have a feeling that I wasn't successful.
Right.
But I hope every time that now, in my current state, I will succeed. We have to go through that state. There's no choice.
And the strength for that I can only receive from the friends.
Yes.
To keep continuing to try.
Yeah. You multiply it by the force of the Creator that's revealed towards you and more things, but eventually... that we don't want anything else.
When we speak about that, so it does start eliminating from afar that form. What writings, or I don't know about writings, but maybe what does the person need to do in order for that to remain with him? What does he need to engage with? Where should he look at all the time?
It comes, I can't say, but gradually it starts shining.
I want to scrutinize the matter of the selling, that it says here that the person will always sell everything he has, and selling the beams of his house, and putting the shoes on his feet, etc. This whole field of selling, that's the 10. toward the friends, lover friends. What is, he also depicts here, and you depicted that of cutting a desire for you, from yourself, so that it's for the sake of connection, for the Creator. And then we talk about the lion taking that sacrifice and not a dog. That whole process is as if it increases in each person the desire, the aviut. And he sees sometimes the flaws in his friends and not in himself. What is the action of selling? I'm standing before this growing desire and I start seeing flaws in the friend, that he needs correction and not me, that I, it's as if completely detached from that act of selling. So this entire process of selling is upon that. When the desire grows and you suddenly, it doesn't come directly to you, that flaw, where you identify it directly in yourself.
That all your actions till now, you are willing to invert them into a new deficiency.
What gives me this protection to see that the friend is okay, that if I see a flaw within him, it's me who needs correction and not him. The need for my correction and not the friend's correction. What does that give in terms of another step toward the, developing the intention to bestow?
Again?
Sometimes there's this overcoming of aviut, and I'll see the flaws in the friend, that he's not okay, he doesn't do this or that, he's not directed. What is that return of recognition of evil, or seeing that the outlook that it's in me, that the flaw's in me and not in the friend, that I am the one who flawed in love of friends and not the friend? What does that give in the purchasing or acquiring of this quality of bestowal and not reception? What is there, this additional value there, this effort?
It's against nature, what can I tell you? It's against nature, how can you? And also, who does it belong to? To man in this world, to the will to receive, that is nothing and doesn't belong to anything. That's why it's very difficult.
So the entire scrutiny of the intention, as you said, is each one within himself in the work with the friends. He cannot check the intentions of the friends. That's already called spies, right?
Right.
He opens the paragraph and says that everyone comes to the conclusion today that there is nothing certain in reality, and sages understood that a long time ago, and they divide reality into revealed and concealed.
Yeah, that also those borders, revealed and concealed, also change.
Yes, but our research is research of the quality of bestowal, of the Creator.
It's all towards man. Towards man, towards the person.
Yes. So what is revealed and concealed in the path?
On the same degree, the same state you're on, for you, there's a revealed part and a concealed part.
What is that? What's revealed and what's concealed?
What
you can reveal, and it'll be clear with all the vessels you have. And you can rely on it and check the others, and they can check you. That's called revealed.
We'll make the question more precise. We say that in our world, without spirituality, just the world, a person can be certain of one thing only, what he wants.
Well,
and everything else, it's an illusion.
Yes.
Now, when we're speaking about the spiritual world, the research has a direction, there's a vector. It's not just what I want, but what I want in a certain direction. What can we say there that is revealed and concealed?
What's
revealed is what a person can reveal in his five senses. And he can share it with others just like him. And that'll be accepted on everyone. That's called revealed.
And what is concealed?
Concealed is what was revealed to him and not to others. It hasn't been revealed. And now there's a matter of whether it's revealed or concealed and towards who and how.
So what is the research on that boundary between revealed and concealed?
The research here is as much as we can be certain that we're revealing.
Because there's someone there on the other side who understands, or it's for us to understand?
What's on the other side?
Trying to understand what you explained earlier. That revealed is what is revealed to a person, and he can identify that in his proximity and share that.
Yeah.
And concealed is what he cannot share.
For now. We don't know what will be in the future. For now, in our senses and our qualities, we can't.
So how does one discern between one and the other? Where is that boundary between them?
A person researches reality. And it's clear where the border is determined. He determines the border, what's revealed and what's concealed. He shows it to everyone, whether they agree with it or not.
So
it actually goes into the work in the 10.
Yes.